Turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to St. John. John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and commencing to read from verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, who testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." I'm sure the Lord would bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. Salvation, the greatest experience on earth. A young man not very long ago said to me that the greatest thing that has ever happened to him was when he became a Christian. And he went on, of course, to share some things with me concerning his life and how the Lord just revolutionized his life and changed him and made him a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, I said to him, that's the gospel. That is what God does. That's what salvation is all about. It is a wonderful experience indeed. And I'm sure many of us during the past few days or week have been talking much about salvation, especially salvation of life from the ravages of Hurricane Floyd. And matter of fact, this is true throughout the country. One of the things that come through all the time as the reporters make their reports and the Prime Minister makes his statements is that we thank God that there has been no loss of life. Matter of fact, I understand the gentleman that was drowned in Freeport or in Grand Bahama, it was really his own foolishness. He tried to swim across the sea from one island to the next. If he had stayed where he was, the chances are he would have remained alive. But we are talking about the blessings of physical salvation. Well, if that is true, and it is certainly true, then how much more is spiritual salvation? When through the grace of our blessed Lord, our entire lives are saved, both for time and for eternity. I believe the woman that Jesus encountered at the well this particular chapter had a story to tell as well, and sought and rejoiced, rather, in the greatness of this salvation. Matter of fact, it seems to me that as she encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, things happened so rapidly and so wonderfully. She left all that she had and ran into the city and told the men what happened to her life, and rejoicing in the greatest experience on earth, and that is the experience of salvation. Well, these people come as a result of her testifying of the great work of grace in her life. Matter of fact, she did say to them, "Come see a man who told me all that ever I did." And so she was indeed overwhelmed, because Jesus knew her life. Jesus knew all about her, and in spite of the fact that he knew all about her, he saved her, he delivered her, and she had a story to tell. Just like you and me, we do have a story to tell, don't we? having come and received Jesus Christ as our Savior, the people, especially the men from the city, came out. And came out to see this person that this woman spoke so wonderfully about. And when they came and they heard him and they said, "We now believe, not only because of what you have said, but we have heard him ourselves and we are convinced beyond the shadow of a doubt that this is the Christ. This is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Now when I think of this passage, I think really of the person, which is my main emphasis this evening, as we think of this great salvation, or salvation, the greatest experience on earth. The person of salvation. Because you see, beloved, this evening, the importance of anything really, it is determined by its source. Now there are a lot of religions that are claiming to have saviors, that are saying to men and women around the world, "We have the answer to your life's dilemma." And many people have tried these organizations and these cults, whatever we want to call them, only to be disillusioned, only to find that what they promised, they were not able to perform. Because, you see, the importance of anything is determined by its source. And so when we come to the salvation, this greatest experience on earth, it is great because of its source. And the source is none other than the Lord himself. Now very quickly, when we come to the Word of God, we note that as the person of salvation, he is the God of salvation. The God of salvation. Psalm number 25 and verse 5 says this to us. Verse 5 says, "Lead me to thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation." Thou art the God of my salvation. Now you see, when we think of God or the Lord Jesus Christ being the God of salvation, the emphasis is source or soul provider. And that is important. This is why we must preach Jesus Christ as the answer. Because you see, no other source will do. No other person will be able to bring this experience which we have said is the greatest one on earth. And so, the emphasis then is on the sole source, or the provider. And when we think of this then, first of all, we think of the fact that, he is eternal. He is eternal. The Word of God says, Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 27, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." You see, my friends, when we think of this salvation and the God of this salvation, it is a salvation that comes from one who is eternal. And coming from one who is eternal makes it an eternal salvation. An eternal salvation, not just for time, not just for the satisfaction of this life, but a salvation that is eternal. For when we come to the Word of God, we are told in the counsels of God, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, that the Lamb was slain before or from the foundation of the world. This, of course, is looking at the plan of salvation from a divine perspective. You and I cannot think in those terms. Only God. Because God sees the beginning or the end from the beginning. He sees the entire picture. And the picture of salvation commenced in eternity past and extends to eternity future because of the fact that he is eternal. And so he provides an eternal salvation. Very quickly, not only do we note that the God of salvation is the one who is eternal, but also he is the one who is unchanging. He is the one who is unchanging. To me, this is most wonderful. This is most wonderful indeed, because you don't want somebody who promises help and deliverance and cannot pull it off, or comes along and changes his mind because of circumstances. Not so with God, you see. God is unchanging. And so when we preach then this Savior, what he has promised, he's able to perform. The Word of God says about his immutability. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible also says that every good gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. Also, we note the fact that the Bible says, in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it's because of my mercies that you have not consumed, speaking to Israel. And it's because I do not change. The Lord changes not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And so, he is unchanging. Now, Balaam realized this. You see, when Balaam came to curse the people of God, he tried all he could to bewitch them, or through his enchantment, to bring a curse upon the people of God. And Balaam had to conclude eventually, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, he says, God has blessed them and I cannot reverse it. What is he saying? I have tried to reverse it. I have tried all I could to change what God has done, but I could not, because you see, God does not change, and when God blesses, no man can curse. He is unchanging. He is unchanging. To the believer, this is most comforting. This is most comforting because the believer realizes that if God loves, he loves forever. The Bible says he loves us with an everlasting love. If he loves forever. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church in Rome. He said, nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. And he went on to name things that people would think about that would make a change possible or a separation possible. But Paul is saying, no, none of these things are able to separate us from the love of God. Because, you see, God is unchanging. He is unchanging. If he loves, he loves forever. If he saves forever. No man is able to pluck them out of my hand or my Father's hand. If he saves forever. And beloved, he is the God of salvation, the eternal God and the unchanging God. If he promises forever. It says in Romans chapter 11 and 19 that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Other words, God had made some promises to Israel way back there in the Old Testament through Abraham. And God assured the people of Israel down through the years that he will fulfill his promises. Sometimes he might have said, because of Abraham, I'm going to do this. Or because of my promise to Abraham, or my promise to Isaac, or my promise to Jacob, because of my promise, I am going to do this. Because he does not change. If he promises forever. And he has promised, beloved, I will never leave you, nor forsake. Now this is his promise to God's people, to God's children. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so I am sure as we take a retrospective look on the recent events, we would conclude that God was with us. God was with us. God preserved us. Preserved us. That's God. And especially those who belong to Him. He has promised. He has promised to be with us. Now let me say this. Let me say this. I believe the Bible bears it out. That God's blessings of the unsaved of this island was primarily because of His people. God's blessings of this country is primarily because of His people. God blessed Potiphar because of Joseph. You see, my friends, God has promised to take care of His people, and God will do that. Regardless. There are those who will come in the blessing, those who know Him not. But let me tell you, I believe God prospers businessmen, unsaved businessmen, because some Christians work for them, because He has promised to provide for them. He has promised to meet all of their needs. And so if it takes Him blessing the unsaved person in order to do that, He will do it because He has promised. If He has promised, He will perform it. And so, beloved, this evening, when we think of Him being the God of salvation, He has promised to save to the uttermost all those who might come unto God by Him. And He is not about to change that promise. That's why we preach the gospel to you regularly. Because we believe, my friends, that you need the Lord. People need the Lord. And as long as people need the Lord, we must preach the unchangeable gospel of Jesus Christ. We must, beloved, if He ever promises, He promises forever. But now listen to me carefully. Although this is comforting to the child of God, to the unbeliever, it is fearful, because you see, the Bible tells us again, He does not change, and He has said, whosoever's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible tells us very clearly that those who reject Jesus Christ will be judged, regardless of what the people who want to presume upon the love of God and says, a God of love won't do this to people that He has created. The Bible says He will. He doesn't change. And so, beloved, this is to the unbeliever a fearful situation. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 42, Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. Matter of fact, these are His last, I believe it's the last week in His ministry. He looks over Jerusalem and He weeps. His heart is broken because, you see, He had gone into Jerusalem over and over and over again. That was the seat of authority. And as He went into Jerusalem, it's a picture of Him going to the entire nation with the Word of God. And He did this. He traveled throughout the land of Israel, ministering and preaching the Word of God, talking about life and immortality and salvation. He did this, but it was rejected. Now He sits perched there on the Mount of Olives, and He looks over the city. His heart is broken. And He says, if you only knew, hear me now, if you only knew the day of your visitation, but now it is hidden from their eyes. Do you know the import of that? Or do you know the import of that? He says, if you knew the day of your visitation, now it is hidden from your eyes. And do you know, do you realize, He wept because it was irreversible? That's why He wept. He wept because it could not be changed. You see, the Bible says, if a person sins the sin unto death,
I would not let you pray for that person. In other words, it seems to me to be saying they have gone to the place of no return. They have deliberately turned their backs upon God, and God has said it is enough. And not even God would reverse it. This is why Jesus wept. It's hidden from your eyes, and you will never be able to see it anymore. Oh, beloved, listen. It's a serious matter when one is exposed to the truth of the Word of God and refuses to respond. Old Mrs. Carey, as I sat next to her bed and tried from the Scriptures to show her how she could become a Christian, she kept saying to me, "Brother Tom, I'm having problems with my soul. I'm concerned about my soul." And I thought, well, that concern is the kind of concern that you could easily get through to a person. She was 84 years of age, and as I sat and prayed, every verse I read and every page I turned, praying in my heart, and I could hear her to this very day saying from her mouth to my ears, "I cannot see it. I cannot see it. God is unchanging. God is unchanging, my friends, unto the unbeliever. This is to be a very fearful thing, because there comes a time when God has to act contrary to what you desire, and that's it. That's it. And so, He is the God of salvation. He is eternal. You remember the words of, in relation to Esau. When Esau came to Jacob, or rather Isaac, when Esau came to Isaac and brought the venison, and Isaac realized what had happened. It says, Isaac trembled. And Isaac said to him, "Thy brother has been blessed, and he shall be blessed." What does he say? "I can't change. I can't change." This is why the revelation or the interpretation in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that Esau sought the blessing with tears. Broke down and wept. And probably said, "I'm sorry, I sold the birthright." But the Bible says he sought it with tears, but he got no divine response. Because the die was cast. To the unbeliever, the unchangeableness, the immutability of God is to be a fearful thing, because when he says something, he means it. When he makes a decision, it is final. It is final. Yes, beloved, he is the one who's everywhere. The God of salvation, he's eternal, he's unchanging. He's everywhere. No matter where we are, he is there. I love that. Because you see, my friends, he said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And he'll be with us whether we are aware of it or not. That's the fact. You might not realize it by experience, but he's there. Because he has promised, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." There's a sister in the hospital right now. She has a terminal illness, she has cancer, and she's going through a lot of pain, and she's still alive. And the last time, I think it was when I was there to see her, just last Wednesday when I left here, that is the week before the hurricane came, and I went by to see her, and I asked her how things were going. She said, "I'm still having a lot of pain." But she says, "You know, when the pain is wrecking my body, I think of the fact that the Lord Jesus is right here with me, going through with me in this pain." And whether we realize it or not, he's with us, beloved. He was with you here. He was with us in the Bahamas. I know a lot of people have been praising this one and the next one, and all kinds of, giving all kinds of reasons for our safety. But let me tell you, our safety was because God was with us. That's where the safety is found, in the fact that God was with us. And it means support. When God is with us, it means support. He said to Moses, Exodus chapter 4, I'm going to be with you. And to be with you, I'm going to be with your mouth. Don't you worry. When you get before Pharaoh, I'm going to help your mouth, your stammering. When the Lord is with us, it means, beloved, He is with us to support us. He's with us to help us in ministry. Matthew chapter 28. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Beloved, the Lord is with us. He's everywhere for the child of God. He's right here with us even today. Not just here in the meeting, we know He's here. But He's with us every day, wherever we are, no matter what. Also, it means a shield against temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that He might be able to bear it. Listen, His being with us is a means of a shield against temptation. It's a means of a motivation to holiness. Job says, doth not He see my ways and count all my steps? God does. And when we realize that, beloved, we are more careful how we live. The presence of the Lord. But you see, the reverse is true. The fact that it means to the unbeliever, there is no escape. You can't hide. No matter how you try to explain things away, it will not work. He's everywhere. He sees everything. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro, beholding the good and the bad. Just the other day, well, the other day would be about 6 months or so ago, the earlier part of the year. Perhaps some of you heard about the young man who worked at Paradise Island in the casino and went missing. And the police were stumped. They didn't. His wife didn't hear anything from him, and he normally went home from work. And for some three months, they looked, they questioned, and they just could not find the man or find anything about his whereabouts. But one day, a young man walked into the police station. And he walked into the police station, and he said to them, told his story. And told him what he had done to the young man, and took the police out beyond where I stay, down by the new cemetery, Southern Cemetery, and one of the graves that had been dug. They did, you know, it's a lot of rock, and that's where they found the body. And his words were, I could not rest. Everywhere I went, I could hear the voice behind me, telling me of my awful deed. And I simply said, when I read it in the papers, let me tell you, you can't hide from God. You can hide from man, but listen, the police didn't know what to do. The family didn't know what to do. But God knew all about it. And God touched him and caused him to realize, listen, you need to get right. You need to go to the police. And he was so miserable. And from the papers, he said, oh, now I can sleep. Thank God, there is a God. There is a God. And beloved, to the unbeliever then, there is no escape. There is no escape. I'm going to close. I'm going to close. This choir sang concerning our blessed hope. God, He is the rock of our salvation. And of course, that speaks of security and so forth. But I want to close with the fact that He is the hope of salvation. He's not only the rock or the God of salvation, or as I just mentioned, the rock of salvation, but He's the hope of salvation. And as the choir sang concerning the coming of the Lord, and as we are looking forward to that day, our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the hope of salvation. The Word of God says, Christ in you, the hope of salvation. Brother Graylin, as he made reference to the fact of the coming of the Lord, mentioned the fact that all of the vicissitudes of life, will be past and gone. No more fear, no more worry, no more hurricanes, no more sickness, no more death. That's a wonderful prospect for all those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But you know, as he spoke and I thought, I said, you know, the greatest of all the prospect is the fact that we're going to be with the Lord. We're going to be with the Lord. We will come back here to this earth. And when we come back to the earth, we're going to see some things on this earth that, of course, much like what's be happening today. Because there are going to be people living on the earth, and tribulation period will be finished, and a lot of things, and even after the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ, there's going to be rebellion and all of this. But beloved, we will ever be with the Lord. I like to say that the moment Jesus comes and calls us to be with himself, we will be with him forever. In heaven and wherever he goes, we are going to be there. We will be with him forever. He is the hope of our salvation. That's the final aspect of our salvation. When Jesus comes, take us home. Now I ask those of you who might be here and you're not a Christian, how about it this evening? Will you continue not to trust him? Will you continue to say no to his overtures of mercy? Will you continue to reject his offer? We trust not. You heard the gospel before over and over. And we've mentioned some of the truth of the gospel as we've sought to encourage God's people even this evening. But my friends, unless you respond to it, it'll mean nothing to you. It'll be just another message that I believe one of these days you're going to hear, but you're going to hear it and it's going to be too late. It won't do you any good. You might not hear somebody preaching it, but it'll go over and over in your mind as you are separated from God forever. But you don't want that. I know you don't want that. And you can change it by simply trusting Christ. Will you do it tonight? As well as prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, in these quiet moments while God the Spirit is ministering to your heart, showing you once again someone said in my hearing that a person said in relation to the storm, you know, all of us could have been lost in that storm. That storm could have wiped us all away. And the person asked, if that was so, where would you have been? Where would you have been? Our Father, we pray that you would minister to all of us this evening. Use your word to challenge those of us who are Christians. Help us to realize more than ever before that you are sufficient for us, regardless. That you are with us and will ever be with us. And your promises will never change. We pray, Father God, that in the aftermath of all that has happened, this truth would serve to give us the strength to face tomorrow, to face all of the challenges that the storm has brought about, that day by day we would find thee to be sufficient. But there are those who are unsaved. Have mercy upon them. Have mercy upon them. Open their understanding that even tonight they will realize that they may know this blessed Savior who will be sufficient for their lives as well. We thank you for our coming together this evening. And we bless thee. Oh, we bless thee for your goodness and your grace. Thank you again for the great provision. The great provision for man's redemption. And we pray, Lord God our Father, that as it is heralded through this island and through this country and around the world, men and women hear the final messages preached, many will come, cash in with your overtures of mercy. Before it is forever to you. We pray that you'll dismiss us now with thy blessing. And we pray that as we go, the things said in the Spirit and by the Spirit would linger and bring forth fruit a hundredfold. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a fire.